When I say the Jersey Shore, what do you think of first? Hopefully not that idiotic TV show. How about the boardwalk? Food, parties, rides, the games, fun with family, fun with friends, the beach, the ocean, the wind turbines, huh? Well, if some have their way, you won't be able to avoid thinking about those because they'll be easily seen along the Jersey Shore. Said that offshore wind turbines are a vital part of a green energy future. My first guest today has a very strong opposing viewpoint, which she is here to share with us. She is the advocacy campaign manager with Clean Ocean Action, Kari Martin. How are you today, Kari?
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Great. I'm doing well.
CleanOceanAction.org. Learn more about the work of Clean Ocean Action, how you can get involved. They also give you a series just on their homepage alone of alerts, because if you live in South Jersey, if you're by the Jersey Shore, if you're just a supporter of the Jersey Shore and the enjoyment that we gain from it and not threatening the nature around it, CleanOceanAction.org. That'll get you up to date with all that and more. So just as a background real fast, Kari, it's called Ocean Wind 1, which obviously means it's the first of a series of three projects already approved. Ocean Wind 1 would build 98 wind turbines about 15 miles off the coast of Ocean City and Atlantic City. As I said, the proponents say it's a job creator, it's a financial windfall, and it's a great step forward with green energy. What do you and your organization say to counter those claims?
Well, so Clean Ocean actually is not opposed to the idea of offshore wind energy, but it must be done reasonably and responsibly. And what we're seeing right now as proposed off the coast of New Jersey and the East Coast is that it's not reasonable and responsible. It's too much too fast. There is no pilot project of the size that, you know, would be able to inform and let us know what the impacts, real impacts and true impacts of these types of facilities would be in the ocean. So we call for a pilot project to make sure that we can find out what is going to happen to our marine life and marine environment as well as our coastal communities with these large, massive industrial offshore wind facilities. So we are concerned about marine life and as well as the ocean ecosystems, from the benthic species on the bottom of the ocean to the fish, as well as to the large marine mammals that we see off the coast of New York and New Jersey. So there's a number of impacts that we're concerned about, electromagnetic fields, also impacts of harassing marine mammals through the particularly the construction of these facilities. And Ocean Wind 1 is just one of many offshore wind facilities that are being proposed off the coast of New Jersey, but also along the entire East Coast. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of industrialization happening in a very short amount of time in an area that has, you know, come back to life after years and years of ocean dumping and ocean problems and ocean pollution that people from both sides of the aisle and, you know, in bipartisan manner to support and clean up the ocean so we can have marine life that continues to thrive. So we are raising questions about what the impacts will be of this wide-scale industrialization in the ocean, and we are calling for a pilot project to find out what the impacts are going to be, and also to make sure that impacts are avoided at all costs, because we are just the ocean provides everything for free. We don't ask for anything other than, you know, we're supposed to protect it. We're there to protect it. So we are able to get the riches from it, but also respect it at the same time.
There's been preliminary work already started, exploration, trying to get logistics, everything. And mm-hmm. in tandem with that, we've seen a drastic increase of beached dead whales. I think the last count was around 50. Now, the offshore wind turbine proponents are denying any kind of connection. Has that potential been fully, honestly explored?
No, Clean Ocean Action has been calling for an investigation to find out what is causing these unprecedented whale and also dolphin deaths off the coast of New York and New Jersey and then the East Coast. And while we don't know the exact cause, we believe that the increased amount of activity related to offshore wind pre-construction activities off the coast should be considered as a plausible possible cause. And right now, the federal and state agencies are confidently and definitively saying that has nothing to do with the whale deaths. But there's no evidence to show that it hasn't. So we need an investigation, an independent investigation, to be able to look into what those causes might be, and looking at all causes, to deny the possibility that this amount of activity happening ashore could be a cause. It's just, you know, it's unacceptable.
I know that the proponents are saying that it's been studied, it's been put through the proverbial fine-tooth comb, at least that's what the DEP and state and federal agents are saying. But I saw a story a few days ago, the foundation, the concrete foundation for Ocean Wind 1, that's all ready to go now. It weighs, and I thought it was a typo, so I triple-checked this, 3 million tons. How can you drop 3 million tons of anything into the ocean and not expect something to change?
Right. I mean, this is going to make vast differences in the ocean with all of these individual foundations, as well as the activity around it, and the, you know, the vessels going to and from for construction and maintenance and operation. We're talking about a huge amount of industrialization and new things happening in the ocean on a large scale that hasn't been done before. So there is going to be impacts, and knowing those, what those are going to be, is really important to understand what it means for the whole, you know, life cycle of the ocean off our coast. And, you know, again, there's also impacts that are going to be on land and along the coast with bringing this energy to shore. So they are huge projects. It's very technical. And as you could see, if you did look into some of the documents, I mean, the environmental impact statements are thousands of pages long with hundreds of references to check and to look at. And oftentimes, if you speak to some of the scientists, there isn't information about impact to some animals based on what's happening with electromagnetic fields or, you know, impacts to feeding and migration. So there's still a lot of information that's not there. And we feel, Clean Ocean Action feels that the projects are outpacing the science, and that is, you know, a dangerous combination to have when you're talking about the vitality of the ocean resources.
Talking to Kari Martin, who is the advocacy campaign manager with the Clean Ocean Action, cleanoceanaction.org, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I mentioned, too, that Ocean Wind 1 is just the beginning. There's, of course, Ocean Wind 2, Atlantic Shores, Offshore Wind 1, and Wind Residual. Those four are planned to be 15 miles off the Jersey coast. There are others, Kari, that are going to be, looks about 30 miles plus off the coast as well. Would that be a better pilot project to do, one of those 30-plus miles off? And because I'm thinking electromagnetic and you mentioned dolphins before. Any kind of electrical activity can confuse their natural radar system, whales as well. It just seems like one at a greater distance might give a better findings, more accurate findings than one closer to the shore.
So you are right. There are multiple ones that are, you know, just off the coast. There's another one, actually, another two, Empire Wind 1 and 2, that's about 20 miles east of Long Branch, New Jersey, as well as further ones out that are just beginning their surveying work and the beginning phases of their pre-construction. So the challenge is, you know, thinking about it in terms of distance from shore. Of course, when you create energy, you have to bring it ashore, and it loses energy the further, you know, away it goes. So, you know, that's up to the design and engineering. These companies want to, you know, make the most money they can with their process and their project. So if you put it further out, obviously there's going to be some loss of energy and possibly increased cost for bringing all this, you know, all the infrastructure out there. So I don't have all the economics of it, and that's something that I think, you know, needs to have a light shine on it, because it's really important to understand not only the environmental, but the economic as well. And there are people working on that. But I think it's important to understand that there are 30 projects from Massachusetts down to South Carolina that are anywhere between 90 to, you know, 200 turbines And we're talking about the National Marine Fisheries Service is anticipating 3,500 turbines in the Northeast with 10,000 miles of cable, and there's 2.2 million acres of offshore area already set aside for offshore wind, with more to come. So we are building this so quickly, moving forward in the process so quickly, but not having the science to understand what the true impacts are going to be.
I know this is hypothetically, but hypothetically, if something does go drastically wrong with the impact, with structures like these, once they're planted, I seriously doubt if anyone's going to voluntarily agree to move them. And you mentioned the reports, too. When you think of the reports, are they addressing not just if something negatively affects where these things are planted, but obviously anything mechanical eventually is going to need maintenance. The Superstorm Sandy comes through, they're going to need a lot of maintenance. Do the reports address those potentials and possibilities?
So we're in the process of going through the 200-page-plus document, and we did meet with and speak to some Bureau of Ocean Energy Management officials last night at a separate public meeting for a separate project, the Atlantic Shores Project. But, you know, a lot of the EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement information is, you know, can be seen, you know, similarly through other projects as well. So what we're finding is that there are still some things that the federal government needs to iron out in terms of monitoring, in terms of a response. You know, we did ask a question about, you know, what would happen if some, you know, impacts are seen, like a fish kill around these when they are pile driving the monopiles into the C4, you know, what's the response plan? What's the agencies that respond? And then what are the steps that are taken to make sure that, you know, fish are protected and these projects aren't impacting the marine environment in ways that they didn't know, or, you know, we don't want them to. And they had no answer. They said, well, the a different bureau in the federal government has been given the authority to do some things related to offshore wind that still need to be ironed out. So there's still many questions at the, you know, policy and the oversight level and enforcement level, but yet these projects are moving forward. So there's still a lot of questions, and we'll be continuing to submit comments on projects for all those gaps that need to be filled in and considered. So it's really important that people look at these documents, make comments, make suggestions, and just be vigilant about what they're planning to do out there.
As far as the various public hearings, access to information, alerts, and warnings, that's one of the reasons why you should bookmark cleanoceanaction.org, because just starting on their homepage and then further in, you'll find a wealth of information and raise your awareness and understanding of this issue and why you should care. Because as far as green energy, it's a good thing. No, I don't think we can deny that. But to do it not just productively, but safely and efficiently, that might be a better focus, and maybe the GAO, because I know Representative Chris Smith has has twisted some arms and caused some ears to bleed down in Washington, that he finally got, you know, your voice translating into the world of the political pressure. And we've seen some step forward that maybe we'll get the answers before too much more gets planted and a turnaround or an alteration for safety reasons can still be taking place. So to be continued, as they say, cleanoceanaction.org is a website for Clean Ocean Action. We've been joined by their advocacy campaign manager, Kari Martin. Kari, thanks for the education here today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, and I hope people get involved and get informed.